Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Aer Lingus pilots vote for strike action ahead of peak holiday season. Find out what it could mean for summer travel. Who will be Ireland's next EU commissioner and who's in line for the other big gigs in Europe? Our athletics team are bringing home 4 medals after the European Championships. RTE's Greg Allen bore witness to it all and he will join us later on. Could we power our homes and cars using energy from farm slurry and food waste? We're going to hear about the potential of biomethane. Chef Holly Dalton tells us about the challenges of feeding babies and toddlers. And Someone in the Attic, Andrea Mara's new book, is already on the bestseller list and she will be here too. You can text us, 51551 is the number. You can email the programme today, cb@rte.ie. Now, we really are getting into the business end of the counts in Ireland South and Midlands North West because we're edging closer to filling the 9 remaining seats for the European Parliament. And from a European perspective, Ireland is still the only country with estimated results. Other member states have either selected their MEPs or have provisional results at this stage. We'll be going to our reporters in both remaining count centres a little bit later on in the programme. But now I'm joined on the line firstly by Lisa Chambers, Fianna Fáil Senator and candidate for Midlands North West. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, we know that your Fianna Fáil running mate, Niall Blaney, has been eliminated. So he had 34,000 votes. They're being redistributed as we speak. And the big question seems to be, can anyone match Ciarán Mullooly or surpass him for that last seat? What do you think when you consider that question for yourself?
Yeah, well, it certainly won't be me anyways. I expect to be eliminated probably later tonight or maybe tomorrow, depending on how quickly the counting is done for Niall Blaney's votes. But it is possible that the Sinn Féin candidate, Michelle Gildenew, could overtake Ciarán Mullooly. It'll come down to how much of a transfer she'll get from Niall Blaney, which she might get some, given that he would have been canvassing in the border area. And also then, when I'm eliminated, will she get anything from me? And could that bump her up? So it's still undecided. I know that she had written herself off, and I think Ciarán Mullooly was feeling very confident. But now he is a good distance ahead, so she does have it all to do. Mm-hmm. But it's possible there is still a significant amount of votes to be redistributed in transfers. So I wouldn't be calling it just yet.
OK. Now, when we look at Ireland South, what happened there with Fianna Fáil's balance ticket geographical management in the two candidate strategy, it looks like they're going to get 2 seats there for Billy Kelleher and Cynthia Ní Bhfiorachú. Do you look at that and think, what if, you know, if that strategy had been followed where you are, you could be in a very different place this morning?
Yeah, of course you do. You do look at it and think, what if the strategy had been different? But you can't really compare the two constituencies because in Ireland South, we had a sitting MEP. So we were definitely, chasing for that second. Whereas in Midlands North West, we haven't had an MEP in this constituency for 10 years. So we're going from zero and we will definitely get 1 elected. So,
but you could have had 2. You could have had 2.
It's possible, but you can't really look at it either. I mean, yeah, of course, you'll always wonder if the strategy was different, would it have made a difference? Because it does come down to at which point you're eliminated, because the longer you stay alive, for want of a better phrase, you're in the mix to get more transfers. But we'll never know, because you can't really just take, say, my own vote and Niall Blaney's vote and add the two together and assume I would have gotten that amount. Mm-hmm. Because every candidate brings with them a certain personal vote as well. So we'll never know. But we're going to go from having no seats to having 1, which is a success in my view. Yeah. And from my own perspective, I'm really proud of the campaign that I ran. I got a significant vote, just shy of 45,000, which is huge. So I'm proud of that, and of course disappointed not to make it, because you put a lot of work into these campaigns. But I got great support from my home county of Mayo as well. So I'm taking the positives out of it, and that's politics. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you feel now it puts you in a good place for the general election.
Well, I need to get past the selection first, Claire, and actually have it put to bed. But I have found the campaign positive. I've learned a lot. You know, it's my sixth election in terms of all the elections I've run previously. But it's the first election I've run for European Parliament, and the scale of it and the logistics, you learn a lot from that. And I feel I have a lot of positives to take away. And I've really enjoyed it. You know, I've gotten to canvass and meet people in places around the country that I've never been to before in terms of politics. And meet the members and work with our councillors. So I'm very happy with how I've performed. And, you know, as I said, we went from having, well, I know Barry Cowan isn't officially elected yet, but we will have an MEP for Fianna Fáil in this constituency, and we haven't had that for two terms. Right. So,
listen, one element of this campaign and the results as they're emerging now is really interesting to look at. These candidates with almost no political experience, like Nina Carberry, like Kieran Mullooly, surging ahead of someone like yourself who has dedicated a good portion of your life now to politics. Is that hard to take?
Well, look, you know, we knew before the campaign that name recognition is a big part of it, because the constituency is so vast, stretching from Donegal down to Galway and right across the Midlands and border into the commuter belt. So, you know, people, you know, further away from where I live wouldn't be familiar with me. But if you are a celebrity, you've been out in the media like Kieran Mullooly, you know, there's more familiarity with your name. And I think with a candidate list of 27 names to choose from, it's quite obvious that name recognition played a big role in the vote that people got.
Mm-hmm. But that must be frustrating if you've made politics your career.
Well, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. And I suppose I've made, like, I've been working on European politics for quite some time as well. So I would have loved to have done the job. But at the end of the day, you know, that's democracy. And you have to, you either get a mandate from people or you don't. And you put yourself forward. And, you know, I was in the Shannon the last couple of days taking order of business and listening to the comments from different senators. And, you know, everyone spoke about how important it is that we have people contesting elections, putting your name forward, that it does take courage to put yourself on the ballot paper. And, you know, we've got, you know, we've got 248 councillors now elected across the country. We look on course to have four MEPs coming from a base of two. So, you know, it's been, I think, a positive election for Fianna Fáil, for our party. And I think the questions now, looking back, running up to polling day, in terms of the polling that was done across you know, different media outlets, just shows that the real poll happens on election day, and those polls were way off.
Well, so there's an issue with that analysis, though, isn't there? Because those polls look at overall party support, and then when you are bringing that down to local and Europeans, it might look very different. It mightn't be wrong when it comes to overall party support, but it just mightn't be reflected in a local and European election.
Oh, I don't know. I think, Claire, before the election happened, I don't think anybody would have predicted that Fianna Fáil would remain the largest party in local government, and that we would have doubled our European seats, just based on what was out there in terms of polling. So I do think there are, you know, just questions around how accurate those polls are, because they do influence voters and they do have an impact in terms of the political discourse. So it's just to be mindful that the only poll we can really rely on
is the
one where people
voters.
Cast their vote.
They didn't.
Well, I said they could influence voters. So they do, I think, have an impact in terms of political discourse. But anyways, that's just besides the point. We're still waiting for results to come in. But overall, I think a really positive day for Fianna Fáil. And my takeaway from this election is that the centre has held. The government parties have done well in this election. And even though there was, you know, issues coming up on the campaign, overall, I think people feel the government are doing a good job. And that's been reflected in the vote that the government parties, my own party in Fianna Fáil, have gotten in this election right across the country.
There was some friction with the Green Party, and they appear to be very sore in the wake of that campaign. We had Pauline O'Reilly on here yesterday, and she didn't mention you by name, but it was clear that she was very upset at some of the things that you had said during the campaign, calling for a break between Fianna Fáil and the Greens and talking about a green straitjacket. Was that a strategy that you devised and pursued during the campaign? And what does it say to us about the relationship between the coalition partners going on from here?
Well, first of all, just to say, I have the height of respect for Senator Pauline O'Reilly. We've been working together in the Shannon for the last 4 years. We get on very well. We work well together. And I met up with Pauline in the Count Centre. And, you know, we've been in contact during the election campaign as well. And that's not to say that we don't have disagreements on policy. And my frustration was around, and is still around, the whole area of renewables and offshore wind. And I've been working on this well before this election. I met Eamon Ryan for the first time in this more than a year ago. And I'm meeting him again next week to discuss the potential for offshore wind off the West Coast. I want to see us move forward in terms of mapping and doing our assessments, because that's being done on the East Coast and the South Coast, but the West is being left. So, you know, as a representative living in the West of Ireland, I make no apology for advocating for the region where I live. And this wasn't part of an election strategy. It's, as I said, it's something I've been working on for more than a year now. And I think that, you know, it's healthy to have a little bit of tension. I don't think, you know, in terms of green policy, every party has an entitlement to advocate on green policy and put forward their ideas, not just down to one party.
Okay, listen,
it's a big issue to be dealt with.
Lisa, if you can stay with us, I understand that you might be called away, but if you can stay on the line, because I've Padraig Tobin, leader of Aintu, with us as well. Now, Padraig, you surged ahead of your former party, Sinn Féin. This was following on from the elimination of Herman Kelly of the Irish Freedom Party. Then again, when Peter Casey was eliminated, that's where your surge came from in the transfers. What does that tell you about how voters see Aintu?
Well, first of all, we're delighted with our results. 6% in a European election is a fantastic result. In the Europeans overall, nationally, we polled higher than the Labour Party, higher than the Sock Dems, and higher than People Before Profit. So we're delighted with the results. There's a large chunk of anti-establishment votes that exist in this constituency at the moment. These are people who are frustrated with the way the government is running the country on a range of different issues. And those anti-establishment votes are going to, I suppose, voices who have articulated a strong anti-establishment view. And I've no doubt that some of those votes are going to go to Ciarán Mullooly as well. So, you know, it is interesting that Aintu is transfer friendly, and, you know, that has been
What I want to know from you is, do you mind being transfer friendly when it comes to the candidates I've mentioned?
Well, first of all, I'm delighted.
Or will you take votes from anywhere?
I will take first preference and second preference votes off any citizen in this country on the basis of the arguments that I make around how this country should be governed. And I think that's very, very important to say. I do think it's a very interesting race that's happening there currently in relation to Midlands Northwest. You have a situation where I think Chris McManus would probably give about 20,000 of his preferences to Gilda New, which will put her past Mullooly in this particular race. But it's hard to see Gilda New pick a majority of the votes from the remaining candidates, Lisa there or myself in that race. So it looks like, I think, that we're going to have a Mullooly Hooly in the end of the day at this stage.
Okay, and we don't know what that's going to look like, but it might be interesting. So listen, when you look at the results overall, you've Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael battling it out for first place. Fianna Fáil now ahead on seats. Labour recovering. Sinn Féin down to about 11 to 12%. Like, it's like the last 10 years, Padraig, never happened.
It is a shocking election result in many ways, but I think that there's a couple of trends that are important to mention here. So this election in many ways has been about expectations. Because the expectations that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Greens would do so bad, because they've beaten that expectation somewhat, they've managed to portray a very positive sheen on their election results. But in actual fact, you know, Fine Gael had a big fall in the Europeans, and Fianna Fáil had their lowest local election result in their history, which is incredible as well. And the Greens fell significantly too. So this is an election where the government have fallen and the opposition has increased. And that's the bare facts of it. When you take away the expectation narratives, which often, you know, run these discussions. So for Sinn Féin, though, it has been a disastrous election result. And I think, you know, I've said very clearly that political parties, they shouldn't forget their base. And it's really important that they listen to the people that they're meant to represent. And I think that's part of the reason why the Sinn Féin vote has fallen so fast. And the question is for Sinn Féin is, you know, is that downward momentum, has it stopped, or is it going to increase further?
Are you suggesting that it hasn't stopped, that there's more to go?
Well, I don't know, and I don't think anybody has evidence of that. All we know that it is in motion at the moment. Now, don't get me wrong, Sinn Féin are a very professional, well-organised political party. You know, they're going to be able to, I believe, over the next 6 months to a year, stem that fall. But the question is, will they be able to do it before there's a general election? And I have no doubt that Simon Harris is likely to call a general election towards the end of this year. he would be foolish from a political perspective, from his own perspective, not to do that, given the state of play in relation to that.
All right, Pather, we're joined now by David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD for Waterford. And David, I know you're in the Count Centre at Nemo Rangers there where Ireland South continues. You heard Pather there. I mean, do you think that this levelling off of support has bottomed out for Sinn Féin, and do you have enough time to rebuild before this general election, which everybody thinks will be in the autumn?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to listen to our voters. That's the most important thing. Obviously, those in other political parties will have their opinions about Sinn Féin, including the government. But we will regroup. We will listen, obviously, to the people who voted for us in 2020. We have accepted since the boxes opened that this wasn't the election that we had hoped for. But we still made gains. We're fighting here for a seat in Ireland South. I'm in the Count Centre, as you said. There's about 100,000 votes still to be distributed. We're very much in the hunt. There's four candidates fighting for three seats. And I hope Kathleen comes through. Obviously, the election of Lynn Boylan in Dublin was really important. It was a key moment for us in the campaign as well. But obviously, we are disappointed with the overall result. We hoped to gain more seats. But the fact of the matter is that in terms of seat numbers, Fianna Fáil are down, Fine Gael are down, Sinn Féin has increased its numbers, which is not to the extent that we had hoped for and planned for, and that's politics. But I think anyone in the media or in those who are in political opposition to Sinn Féin will make a huge mistake if they think that that result will carry over into a general election. We saw in 2019 what happened in terms of the local and European elections.
Yep.
There in a general election, people do vote differently. Mm-hmm. So obviously we have to accept the verdict of the people today. But I think that if the government believe that Sinn Féin is now weakened going into a general election, I would say to them, bring on that election. We will take them head on their failures on a whole range of issues, but also on that positive alternative vision that we will put forward. So
yeah, I'm sure you've had, you probably had time now, David, to reflect certainly on the local election results for the last couple of days. And Eoin O'Brien was here with us on Sunday night saying that the people they had hoped would come out and vote for Sinn Féin didn't, but that the core supporters were there. Is that how you read what happened?
I think it's a number of factors, Claire. Obviously, turnout was lower than it was in 2019. We needed a higher turnout. So it is obvious to me that many people who voted for Sinn Féin in 2020 or those who indicated they would vote for Sinn Féin in opinion polls weren't motivated enough to come out for a local and European election. We hope, obviously, that that would be different in a general election. But that's a job of work now for Sinn Féin to energise that base. Because when I was on the doorsteps, and in my own constituency, by the way, we went from 14.5% in 2019 up to 21.5%. And we gained two seats that are areas where the Sinn Féin vote increased. But obviously, our job now is to convince all of those people who voted for us in 2020 that we can deliver in government, that the type of changes that we want to bring about are really important for people who are struggling, whether it's people with disabilities, carers, people who are looking for their forever home.
Yeah. Is that enough? David, you mentioned your own area. Can I just ask you about that in Waterford? One of your councillors, John Hearn, was quoted in the Irish Times as saying, armchair generals don't win elections, soldiers do. What does he mean by that? What do you understand him to mean by it?
Well, obviously, you'll have to talk to John on exactly what he meant, but I assume what he meant was that we obviously need to be active on the ground. You need to be knocking on doors. You need to be convincing more people to vote for the party. We obviously have lessons to learn organisationally. And in every election campaign, when you come out of that campaign, you have to learn lessons. And
but that's something that people have always said. Sorry to cut across you, David, but that's the one thing people always say about Sinn Féin, that you're so good on the ground. You're so good at getting out there. Are you now saying that you weren't in this campaign?
No, not at all. And my view is that we had a very strong campaign on the ground. I mean, if you take the Waterford constituency, and we're talking about the comments from one councillor, the facts bear out that we massively increased our vote. The reason why we increased our vote is because we were canvassing very, very hard for the best part of a year. We got our vote out on the day. We put a huge effort in. It's obviously a very difficult election, Claire. When you're up against 580 incumbent Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors, that wasn't born into maybe our own factoring of the election, but also the media's as well. And, you know, I know you were reflecting on opinion polls. When you have that many incumbent Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs, they obviously have 5 years, sometimes 10, 15, 20 years of work behind them. When you're standing first-time candidates, it is more difficult and it is more challenging in the local and European election, and personalities and work experience, all of that comes into it. So obviously they're less for us, but we have additional councillors now.
Yeah.
It wasn't the game that we wanted, but we certainly have more going into the next locals. But I think the next big battle is going to be the general election. We will be match fit, Claire. We will put forward a genuine alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. People who are on hospital trolleys, people who can't afford their home, a person with a disability who can't get access to services.
Okay.
A child with scoliosis,
we won't start the campaign today, David. I know you have a count to get back to there with Kathleen Function. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll have to leave it there. David Cullinan, Pather Tobin, and Lisa Chambers, thank you all for joining us. We're going to hear more next about this decision by Aer Lingus pilots to vote for strike action, coming ahead, of course, of peak holiday season. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.